This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Welcome to Authors Alcove. My name is Agnes Wolf. Today I have author and editor Susan Ferber. She is known for having written The Essence of an Hour and its sequel, We Were Very Merry. She has also worked with such publishing companies as Bloomsbury, Routledge, and LID Publishing. Now she works with writers as an editor and consulting for self-publishing through Ingram Sparks and Amazon KDP. Today I asked her to join me in talking about self-publishing a little bit. So welcome, Susan. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to talk all things publishing.
Do you mind just sharing your background in publishing and as an editor and author?
Yes. So I started in publishing by doing a master's in publishing at Oxford Brookes University, which was a fantastic introduction to all things publishing and to thinking about the greater industry and the challenges ahead in it. And I think that's influenced a lot of my career and a lot of the decisions I've made. I've always been intrigued by different publishing models and to thinking outside of the box, which is probably why I like helping authors to self-publish. So I started, though, in traditional publishing, very much an academic. I was even starting in marketing, and then I transitioned over into editorial for my first real roles after doing many, many internships. And then from there, I then went more into business book publishing. Before I turned 30, I'd always been moving toward this idea of being more freelance and to work with many of the authors I had worked with in-house for projects that may not have quite fit the mold to be published for the publishers that I worked with previously. So I took a lot of the skills that I had harnessed over my publishing experience years, particularly copy editing, proofreading, structural editing, but also that I've always really gone back to is, how is a book published? Who are the gatekeepers? What models of publishing work for certain peoples, what models don't work. And one thing I'm quite passionate about is explaining how publishing works full stop. I think lots of people find it a mystery. Most people only really encounter books and publishing when the book is really successful, or they see it advertised on billboards or on the underground or subway, or the few books they see on the table when they walk into a bookstore. Well, there are hundreds of books published every single day. That volume comes a lot even just from traditional publishing before you even take into the amount of books being published, self-published, and how many books are then also only published as ebooks or something like that too. So really understanding how wide of an ecosystem publishing can be is what I'd love to talk about today.
I know this is probably going to be a very big question, but so you have had the experience of working with the big publishers. You've also had experience publishing your own through kind of an indie publisher, and plus you help coach people with self-publishing. So you have experience in all three. What would you say the biggest difference with each of them is?
I'd actually say the least difference is probably easiest to start with, which is how much reliance is on the author to get out there and do a lot of their own promotion or a lot of their own work or a lot of their own advocacy for their book. And I don't think people realize that. I think people think, oh, once you are signed with a big publisher, you have to do absolutely nothing. So I think that is a misconception, and people have to be prepared whichever route they go. But in terms of difference, of course, it does come ultimately down to budget as well. And I think with that budget, though, comes adversity to risk. So sometimes with bigger publishers, cliche, but it's true, is that they can be quite adverse to risk, especially for a debut, to new voices. And that can be really limiting in what they end up publishing. And that's why I can feel like it's the same book coming out every single month. And that is a lot of celebrity memoirs. But again, things like celebrity memoirs and cookbooks, traditionally, that has funded taking risks on smaller authors and publications. But sometimes that's not true necessarily. So that is just a different market. And there's a huge amount of pressure in that market to deliver on what your publishing program is. So I, even at bigger publishers, have worked pretty much on academics, so still haven't really been in the big leagues, as you might say, and not really working with advances and agents so much. But I do know from friends who work on the more trade side in bigger publishers, there is a tremendous amount of pressure to make sure that what you are signing and what you are paying money for up front for an advance, which can sometimes be staggering, does deliver in the end. That's why I think places like Valley Press or other indies, and there's a really flourishing indie scene in the UK, particularly up north, which is fantastic because historically London has been the epicenter of publishing and has really not allowed other regions and other voices in. So I think that potentially is why the North has such a boom of great independent publishers or small publishers coming to the forefront in the last few years. But again, with smaller publishers, they're not, number one, working with the overheads that you have at a larger publisher. And so sometimes they are willing to take more of a risk, as Valley Press was, for instance. And I think that's really exciting. And they'll have a much smaller publishing program. Now, ultimately, that also means that there's not the budgetary spend that you'll have at a bigger publisher. But they have, as I said, a very limited program usually. So your editors care about you. Your publisher cares about you. You are not part of a huge amount of content coming out that year. And if you're not on the top, you know, billing of that, you're all top billing basically, because there are so few of you. And that's a really lovely experience. Is it for everybody? No. Is it potentially for every book, even in one author's career? Probably not. I think different models sometimes suit different, as I said, different people, but also different works. And then again, you have self-publishing. Now, self-publishing, I have mostly worked with self-publishing authors who are in the thought leadership space or business books. And quite a lot of books are self-published in that area, though obviously a lot of fiction is also published in self-publishing, mostly commercial fiction, I would say, though potentially literary fiction. I think that's really an area people haven't explored too much, is literary fiction self-publishing. I still think there's a bit of a, not taboo, but I think people are still a little bit snobbish about self-publishing. And so they think, oh, if it's thought leadership or if it is a romance novel, oh, that's fine for that, but it's never going to win the Booker. And I think that's something that really needs to be broken down over the next so many years. We've seen such wonderful success come from self-publishing and such great voices too. The biggest thing about self-publishing is that it's self-motivated and you can bring your content out yourself. So you're not having to look to those gatekeepers in the same way that you do with traditional publishing. And so that is, I think, one of the probably biggest reasons and motivators for people to undertake it. I do think self-publishing seems very scary, even though I help people do it, if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know why you're doing it. So again, as I said, I've mostly consulted with, as I said, really thought leadership or marketing people or people working in HR or something like that, where they have a company to leverage their platform behind them. So they already have a contact list. They can essentially do what we would call in traditional publishing buybacks. And they know how to sell. They have a dedicated network and they may also be able to harness the talents of their own internal marketing team, or they know how to hire PR. They have a little bit more at their fingertips resource-wise to use than potentially an author who is just starting out writing a fiction book and doesn't know anything about publishing or really about business, how to get that out there. So there's also another way, but this is where I would be really quite hesitant to recommend this, but there are publishing services out there which can kind of help authors. They give you essentially like a one-stop package where they can help you have editorial work, they can help you with marketing, they can help you to release the book. Ingram Spark does a lot of this actually, and you can still self-control that more. But some publishing services are really upfront. So I would not consider that vanity publishing because they're so upfront about these are costs. You still own your own copyright and you're not paying an arm and a leg to self-publish, because that's the other thing with self-publishing that can be really daunting is the cost of it. Because unless you are able to edit your own work, to do your own design work, to put that all out there, and then do your own marketing, you can end up paying people lots of money. You can also end up paying maybe not the right people to help you realize your dream. Again, it just depends what way you want to go down it. But anybody exploring really self-publishing, I would recommend, and I have had conversations with authors who have not ultimately ended up working with as an editor, but just to give them a really good understanding of what self-publishing means, and to recommend potentially going down package services to make sure they understand how much of an upfront investment it can be. Again, back to working mostly with business book authors, they know that a book can really be a calling card or an updated business card. So they're going to sell that book at conferences. As I said, they have a network. But being a self-published author, you really need to think about what's your network, who are you going to sell to, what trade thinks are you going to go down, what distribution. And you can do that all through Amazon KDP. I will say this, the biggest difference as an editor working in a traditional to then going and doing work through Amazon KDP is that Amazon KDP is very easy to use versus Amazon. If you're trying to get a hold of anybody as a traditional publisher, they never email you back. So the transparency is way better with Amazon KDP, which makes sense. They're trying to support their own platform, but it is really self-intuitive. And when I started off in freelance work, an author came to me and said, right, I just want to get this book to market. I'm impatient. And that's another really good reason. If you're impatient and you have a million ideas and you just are ready to get going, that's a great reason to self-publish, because publishing can also be really quite slow. Particularly at big publishers, that can take sometimes 2 to 3 years from signing until it's the right time to release to market. Usually smaller publishers are quicker, but with self-publishing, you can publish as fast as you want. And that can be, I think, really empowering. And also you can change things. So if you find a typo, yes, you can change that. You can reprint more copies tomorrow. They're usually print on demand, so that's fine. Or if your thinking changes, you can update that. You don't have to wait for your publisher to say, right, we can move into a second edition, or we're doing a reprint. Do you have any changes you'd like to make? You have that autonomy to do that all yourself. So if you're that type of person, yes, it's great. So when an author who was that type of person came to me, and I took on learning Amazon KDP, I was quite nervous because I thought, gosh, what kind of system is this going to be? But they've made it super, super easy. So if you ever decide to go down a self-publishing route, they can give you an ISBN, which is basically the little number at the barcode. It's one of those things that publishers take for granted. Everybody knows, but probably nobody cares except publishers. But it's really important that every book has an ISBN, and it can cost money to buy an ISBN, but Amazon KDP gives that to you for free. So that's a really good benefit about them. And then they also have their own platform. You can turn it into an ebook only, or you can do print on demand. You can control your own prices. You can control how much distribution you want with it. And that can affect your rate of royalty. But again, that's all down to you. And they guide you through those steps. Ingram Spark is very similar as well. But it has a little bit more of an established outer network of distribution. And I think some authors really enjoy working with that. And there's a little bit more handholding and a little bit more coaching that can come through working with them, which could be really valuable, particularly to first-time authors who are not necessarily understanding the whole business of distribution. Back to my earlier point, I don't think the wider public is so much aware of how much goes into getting that book onto a shelf or onto a table in a bookstore. It's one, obviously, a lot of work for the author, a lot of work to produce that book, but even for that book to make its way from a warehouse into the bookstore, I mean, sometimes that can be a challenge. I've had challenges before. Mm-hmm. And how you have to have good relationships with the bookstores and set that up. So again, if you're with a really, really big publisher, that all has been worked out in detail over the years. They have their links, they have their distribution networks, they have their warehouses. But if you're a smaller publisher, that may not always be the case. You may not have the presence or the prominence of a bigger publisher. And oftentimes as an independent self-publishing author, it can be really hard to get in any space other than an online listing. So again, Ingram Spark can kind of, at least from my understanding, help with that. They may not be able to solve the problem because it still is a very gatekeepery world of publishing, and there is very limited book space as well, but they can at least help you through navigating what that can look like and understanding what it looks like. I was also going to say, I don't think people are aware of how difficult it is to ship books all over the world and how books end up on the ocean and just these terrible stories all the time.
At what point should an author start reaching out to try to publish their book?
I think that's always a good question. And I think it always just comes down to your own feeling about it. And again, lots of the authors I've worked with previously, both in-house and not in-house, academics, that's because they have a certain pressure to publish for promotion or for internal reasons or to get original research outside. So that's a very different reason. With business book writers, it is almost always about them wanting to take the next step in their career. And as I said, to have that calling card. And often they will just write a book, sometimes remarkably swiftly, and it needs to just fit that purpose of being the next step in their career. And it will go through very few drafts, and you'll work usually with a development editor or structural editor, as I've done in the past, to get that book into a good shape to then publish. With fiction or memoir or something that's a little bit more personal, which is like what I think people think about when they think of a writer, that is, I believe, down to the own person. And every book will be different. Every story will be different. And what I learned as a writer between my first and my second book, my first book, I was horribly, horribly precious about. And I thought, because I'm an editor, I can just be very critical of my own work and very sort of disillusioned and unattached to it and keep going back to it and editing it. But that's wrong. And I think the first book would have benefited probably from me being a little less shy about it early on and taking in outside readers. And so for the second book, I sent that to more readers when I still knew it wasn't quite ready yet, but I thought it's almost there. Let me get a sense of how other people are perceiving it. And a few flaws that I'm still finding and I do want to work on, let me see how they pick that up. And I think that that's a huge thing to do. So having readers that you trust, being part of writing groups, I found some fantastic writers who are about at the same stage in their careers as I am through Instagram, through Bookstagram, essentially. And they have been wonderful readers and supporters. I've read their work as well to comment upon. And I think that network and that community is so good to have because it gives you that confidence to then say, right, is this ready for the world to send out there? There's a certain point where you do have to take a risk. And I don't actually think a book is ever finished. I think a book is published. I think you will always want to change things. But even once the book is going to be published, once you have your publishing deal, or you've decided to self-publish, when you're working with your editorial team, there are still going to be comments. On the second book, especially, my editor at Valley Press came back to me with some really, really good criticism. And I changed a lot of the second half of the book, at least the way it was structured, in reflection to that critique, and also wrote a few more passages. And I find those passages probably the best work I've ever done because I was pushed to do it. And even though, again, I'd had my writer friends reading it, I had my publishing deal, my book was going to be published, still that final version of it had to be eked out. And I think being open to that at every stage is really important too, as a writer, whichever route you go down. Back to self-publishing, obviously, if you do decide to self-publish, you have way more control over your content as well. So if you're not going to be forced to change an ending for some reason, if it's not commercial enough or something like that. So there can be a lot more freedom in that too, I would imagine.
If you're working through Ingram Sparks or Amazon KDP, are there any specific formatting requirements or guidelines for submitting to either of these that authors need to know?
There are, and they're actually usually covered in little guidebooks that both have, which is super, super helpful. And both can help you with typesetting, which I would say, again, when I started on this journey to help authors self-publish back in 2020, I thought, well, how am I going to handle the typesetting? Because I can use InDesign, but I cannot actually really use InDesign. I can do corrections, very limited, but I really can't lay out a book, for instance, by myself, or it would look pretty, pretty poor. It wouldn't look to be industry standard. And how are people going to do that? And design independent work is often more expensive than, I would say, editorial work or even PR marketing work. So what Amazon KDP and Ingram Spark have done is they've set up a way that you can use templates to put your work into that. And I think that's hugely, hugely helpful. It also helps you with cover restrictions. So in terms of how to crop your cover so that it fits, so that whether you're working with a designer who can help you with that, or if you're doing it all yourself, it's pretty intuitive. Again, things like bleeds, et cetera, dimensions, print size. These are all things that are quite difficult when you're working in traditional publishing as a production editor. You have to manage with the printer and booking in. But Amazon and Ingram use only certain types of formats. So it's simplified the whole matter. So it's pretty easy. People should not be daunted by the prospect of putting their own book together. I have put books together for people, and I am not a typesetter in any way at all. If you are able to work with a typesetter, I have known independent authors who have ultimately ended up booking a typesetter. You can still do that, of course. It will look a little bit more in line with traditional industry standards. You can tell when a book has been typeset by somebody like me using KDP. But I do think on that note, a lot of the stuff is getting better as it grows from its infancy of self-publishing models through things like print on demand. Sometimes print on demand is a lot better than it used to be. And even ethically, I sometimes think print on demand is great because you're not wasting paper and you're not wasting storage and resource. So a lot of publishers are even moving toward other POD models too. So again, you shouldn't feel that that's something that really separates your book out in difference between using something like Amazon or Ingram.
So if you use Ingram Sparks, what platforms are your books available if you publish through them?
Yes, that's a great question. So Ingram is a publishing service that also works with traditional publishers as well, particularly in the US. But they will list it on Amazon, obviously. They'll also list it on other websites like Barnes and Noble or here, Waterstones. It just goes out to something called the Onyx feed to multiple publishers and to bookstores as well. So bookstores can opt in. It will go through their catalog and they can say, right, I'd like to list that title on my website. Now, the thing about print on demand that I should say is if your book is only available on print on demand, oftentimes a traditional bookstore will not carry it in stock. And that has to do with not people necessarily being snobbish, but for really good economic reason. Sometimes they buy books at final cost. Sometimes they buy books on really a promise to then pay the publisher once they sell the book. And what will happen at the end of a year is they will send books that they just simply have not sold. And they're looking and seeing the sales and they're thinking, right, we've had 10 copies of this book in store. We sold three over the year. We'll keep one. If it sells, it sells. We're sending the rest back. So then, as a publisher, you look at your returns and you can be hit by really heavy returns. And it's not a fun feeling either as an author or as a publisher. It's not fun telling your authors either that the sales that you're projecting have now been impacted by heavy returns, but it happens to everybody. And with print on demand, though, a bookstore isn't able to return that. It's a buy only. So that's why a lot of times they might be willing to take a risk on one copy and say, right, if this sells, we might be willing to take another copy from you. But that's not always the case. I always do recommend to anyone, though, that they go and speak to their local bookstores and really support their independent bookstores in their communities too, and get to know them so that if they are in a position where they're trying to have their book front and center on the shelves, that that bookstore might be willing to take a little bit more of a risk. But you will not find that on a broader spectrum, though Ingram, as I said, will feed out to these independent bookstores much more comprehensively than Amazon can. Amazon now has an option where you can do that, but there still is a feeling within the industry that it's us versus Amazon. So people can be reluctant to take something that's an Amazon essentially published product into their smaller side of the ecosystem.
That makes a lot of sense. So, how long does the self-publishing process take from submission to availability from Ingram Sparks or Amazon KDP?
It can take as little as 20 minutes, really. I mean, even it can be instantaneous, really. The thing is it depends whether it's an ebook or a print book, but basically you uploaded it to a system. I should also mention that Ingram Spark does have a fee associated with it, but it's very, very minimal. So people should not feel that there's a huge difference between KDP, which is free, or Ingram Spark, which I believe last time I checked is about $40. But again, with both systems, once you submit your final version of the book with your final cover and it's been approved, so there have been times working through the systems where the margins, the bleeds that was submitted on the cover from the designer to me were not working. So you had to go back several times to make sure it works. But once it essentially works and is approved, you can upload it. And then the system essentially scans the book. Once it's approved and they see that all the printing dimensions have been fit, that it will work as a book, that it will read well on an e-reader, it's published. I have to recheck how Ingram Spark works, but I know Amazon KDP, I believe Ingram's the same way. There's a slightly annoying feature where you cannot pre-order a printed book because the idea is that as soon as you submit your final files, they expect it to take between 24 to 72 hours to publish that book. And as soon as it's approved, the copies can start flying out. So that's why you cannot pre-order it. But with the ebook, you can set up your listing for it and enter in all your metadata, and then you can have pre-orders available, and then you can set it to live.
So, do either of these companies offer any marketing or promotional services to help increase visibility?
Ingram Spark is a little bit better about it, especially in terms of metadata, but not really. You'd still probably be needing to look at working with a PR agency or an independent marketer to help you unless you have infinite time or that experience in your own sort of tool belt. That's probably the trickiest thing for people is where's the platform? Again, as I said, there'll be some limited things they can help maybe with ads or boostings, but it's very, very minimal. So that is something people do need to be really aware of. Again, some of these services that I've spoken about, I think something like Troubadour is something that I've heard at least through author communities that is pretty transparent with its publisher services. I do think they can help with marketing assets, which is something you're just not going to get through Ingram or through Amazon yourself.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time because you had just interviewed with me about your most recent book, We Were Very Merry. And what was the first one called?
The Essence of an Hour.
Yes. Do you mind just sharing just very briefly about that and before we go?
Oh, that's lovely of you. So yes, so both books are published by Valley Press, which is a lovely little small publisher up in Yorkshire in the UK here. And they publish only a few titles per year. They're mostly known as a poetry publisher over here. And both books follow the story of Lily Kerrigan, who is a young woman coming of age in the 1940s and 1950s, navigating her past traumas in order to become a woman.
Thank you very much. All right. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you last time, because I ask everybody. So hopefully you have something else stored in your brain.
Yes.
What would be one piece of advice you would offer to a not yet published author?
So actually, my advice as an editor is slightly different, and that is know your story. And what I mean by that is both in fiction and in nonfiction, it is very difficult for writers to present their own experiences and make that interesting enough and universal enough. So I find that voice is what lots of people struggle with, and how to make the personal broader and more universal. So if you can figure out how to do that, it's something that comes with lots of work, and you don't always get it right every single time, actually, as a writer, even once you've learned the trick to do it one time. But keep working on that and think, right, how do I make this understandable to people based on what I've been through? Because lots of us have the same experiences, or enough of the same experience, or potentially really nothing to relate to in that story, but maybe one tiny little thing that you can hook people in with. So find that, locate your voice, and that will help you to write a better book. As I said, whether that be a fiction book, or if that be a business book about top tips as a marketer, you need that same skill in anything.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate. And again, thank you so much for being willing to be on here twice. I really appreciate that. I hope you have a really great rest of your day.
Well, thank you so much for having me twice. It's been wonderful.
Glad to hear that. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.